It's time for Makes You Think. And today our subject for discussion is exams. What are they good for? A topical issue, what with GCSEs just around the corner. And here in the studio to discuss exams, we have Jane Barker, head teacher at St. Ninian's Comprehensive School, and Peter Wellborn, educational psychologist attached to North End College, Burnton. Peter, if I may begin with you, I believe that you are against exams.
Well, I wouldn't put it quite as bluntly as that. I'm not the iconoclast of examinations. However, I'm not really in favour of exams as a testing device, if they are all that is used to assess attainment.
And why is that?
For a variety of reasons. Firstly, because I feel that examinations detract from the aims of the educational process. They make it a means to an end, rather than an end in itself. The goal becomes not learning itself, not increasing our knowledge, but rather the acquisition of pieces of paper which prove that, at some time or other, we were able to do something. I see education as a continuum, what John Dewey would have termed not preparation for life, but life itself.
But aren't exams part of life? After all, we meet them just about everywhere, not just at school. Whether we are sitting a driving test or having an interview for a job, we are being tested, gauged, evaluated. How else are other people to know what we can do? How else are selections to be made?
With some difficulty, I admit, but I would like to confine the issue to exams at school. I don't think that exams should be a central part of a person's schooling. They are far from being the most suitable way to gauge whether learning has taken place. And indeed, for some people, they may positively inhibit learning.
Jane?
Of course, any examination system has its limitations, but I can't see any practical alternative to them. If you abolished exams, what would you put in their place?
Well, as I have said, I wouldn't abolish them altogether, but I would greatly reduce their importance as a testing device and would instead place more emphasis on continuous assessment throughout the year and on project and assignment work. That would also have the merit of keeping students motivated and working hard instead of cramming for a few weeks or even a few days before the examination. Something which doesn't result in real learning anyway, as what is learnt in this way is soon forgotten.
I certainly wouldn't defend cramming as an effective learning device, but you know, school syllabuses and pupils' expectations are built around the certainty of exams, and in particular written exams as a method of evaluating progress. The majority of teachers, parents, and even students seem to actually like exams.
This is probably due to habit and familiarity. It's the operant conditioning of Skinner with his rats, as well as having to do with people's comfort zone. They like what they know, and they know about exams.
In that case, where's the harm in them?
For most candidates, discounting exam nerves, none. However, there will always be a certain proportion who, however ably they perform during the year, simply cannot sit exams.
Yes, but are we to penalise everybody else because of that? Of course we need to take into account any problems which particular students may experience through psychological factors or learning difficulties, but that can be incorporated within the existing system. And if a school didn't have compulsory exams, what then?
Then it would be something like Summer Hill, which has been running successfully since it was founded in 1921.
Jane Barker, Peter Wellborn, thank you both for taking the time to be with us today. But now one of the things which we're going to move on to is...
Now you'll hear part four again. That's the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. I'll remind you when there is 1 minute left, so that you're sure to finish in time.